Good morning. If we haven't met, my name is Sam McLaughlin, and I'm one of the pastors here at Belle Meade. We're so glad you're here to worship with us in person and online. If you're in person, I would love the chance to meet you on the way out. If you fill out that yellow visitor card, we also have a gift for you. If you're worshiping with us online, we just want you to know that our new pastoral intern, Rachel Jorsdad, is there saying hello to you. Let her know that you're there. Tell her your prayer request, and we will lift those up in our staff meetings. And coming soon, we are going to have a special virtual coffee hour just for you, because we would love the chance to get to know you on that space. Even if you are not in person, you are a part of Belle Meade. Today, we continue our sermon series for this month of May called All the Good. We've been talking about this piece of our heritage, our theology from our founder, John Wesley, who said, do all the good you can in all the ways you can to all the people you can as long as ever you can. So we've talked about what it means to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world, people who reflect the goodness of God. We've talked about how God created us and all of creation and called it good, that each one of us uniquely carries the imprint and the image of God. And so we should treat one another with respect. We should accept one another for our uniqueness. Last week, we looked at Paul's words in Galatians. He said, "Do not grow weary in doing what is good. For at a proper time, you will reap a harvest if you do not give up." We were serious about the weariness that we carry in life. Sometimes we just want to quit, but God says, don't give up. You will reap a harvest from this. Last week, Paul also said, whoever sows to please the flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. And whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. And so today, as we look at Paul's writings in Romans, we continue to look at his theological reflections on life through the Spirit. In our verses for today, there's a little heading in my Bible, maybe yours too, and it says, present sufferings and future glory. So in this section where our text comes from today, Paul says that the hardship that we face on earth doesn't compare to the future glory we will experience in heaven. And as Christians, we hold on to that hope. We hold on to that hope that one day we have full wholeness and healing and restoration. But we also know what it's like to wait for that. That's why Paul says all of creation groans and anticipates this time of healing. And so for our verse today, he says, meanwhile, in your waiting, don't get tired. It is when you feel like you're gonna quit that God's Spirit shows up alongside of you and helps you along. It is in your waiting that the Spirit comes and prays in you and for you. One translation says that the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Now, Paul might have been talking about strength, but I think in a bigger way, he's not talking about lack of strength. He's talking about that state of not being yet fully redeemed. And so we might say that the Spirit helps us when we cannot see that for which we hope for. The Spirit helps us when we need assistance, peering into our darkness and praying God's future into the present. Paul says the Spirit makes prayer out of your wordlessness, out of your aching groans, that the Spirit knows you, knows your expectant condition, your waiting condition, and the Spirit keeps you present before God. Isn't your life different if you are kept present before God? So Paul says all of those things about the Spirit to be able to say this, because of the work of the Spirit in your life, you can believe that even goodness exists in the midst of hardship, that in all things, God is doing something for good. Now, many of you might have heard another translation of verse 28. It says this, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." And over time, we've struggled a little bit with that phrase, "in all things." Some people take this phrase to mean that God causes or wills all things, even bad things, in order to bring about good. For some people, those bad things are tests, or they're put in our path to glorify God. Now, in the personal place of my walk with God, I feel like the glorification of God, or a lesson that is learned, or a correction that is made on our spirit, is not the intent of those bad things, but can be the outcome of those bad things. For me, we have to tease out and separate what is God's will and what is God's work. I believe that God's will is not death and destruction, but that God's will is thwarted by death and destruction. I believe that God's will is that all of creation is moving towards redemption. Another way to say this is that in all things, God works to save us. So what does it look like to say God works for the good of all things? This week, I watched one of the final episodes of the TV series, This Is Us. This is where I need you to admit, if you like the show, have seen the show, okay, we got some eager hands going up. Even if you've never seen the show before, this series is about a young couple named Jack and Rebecca and their quest to raise their triplets, Kevin, Kate, and Randall. Now, when the kids are seniors in high school, their home catches on fire, and everyone is able to escape because of Jack, their father. They believe that Jack is going to be okay, but later in the hospital, he dies from cardiac arrest. And so the show follows Rebecca as she tries to raise these three adults and as they have their own families and grow their own families. Now, in the episode from Tuesday, Rebecca has reached the end of her life and is dying from Alzheimer's. The show takes us through different family members coming to her bedside and saying goodbye to her. And at the same time, we see a young Rebecca walking on a train, making her way to the caboose, to that place where she will transition to new life. And what we see is that in one of the final scenes is that she's about to open the door to step on the caboose, but she looks at one of her family members and she says, "I'm really sad." And the family member looks at her and says, "Rebecca, if you step back and look at the whole picture, if you're brave enough to allow yourself the gift of a really wide perspective, you'll see that the end is not sad. It's just the start of the next incredibly beautiful thing." And as he's saying that, in the background, we see these scenes from the night that Jack died because of that house fire. And we see that the doctor that could have been attending to him was attending to a young boy in a car accident. And that young boy lived because of that. And that young boy grew up to have a pioneering role in drugs that targeted Alzheimer's disease. You know, as I watched that, I thought, this may be a fictitious account, but it resonates in me somehow. It resonates with those of us who have looked back on tragedy in our lives. We've stepped back and seen the whole picture, and we've been brave enough to open up this really wide perspective, and we can see that even in the midst of something ending, another incredibly beautiful thing began, that somehow, some way, some greater good was birthed out of this tragedy, that somehow we have been wrapped up in what we believe about death and resurrection and new life. Perhaps that is what it means for God to work for the good in all things. At the same time, I think it's fair that we acknowledge that that isn't how everyone sees it. That isn't true in all cases. Sometimes we mean well, we have good intentions, but we can do harm when we project our understanding of the goodness of God on other people, especially when their pain is really fresh. This may have happened to you in some way. Good intentions like God needed another angel in heaven. Good intentions like everything happens for a reason. Good intentions in saying something good will come out of this. I think it's fair that we let the person or the group experiencing the pain bear witness to the goodness of God in their crisis. Or here maybe are some other interpretations of what God working for good might mean. The good is that you survived. The good is that God was walking alongside you every step of the way. The good is that the strength of the Spirit undergirds you and holds you up as you muddle your way through death. Part of what we proclaim when we say, in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, is that somehow, some way, we will see the goodness of God no matter what. Church, don't you have those situations in your life when you say, I don't just want to believe that. I have to believe that goodness will come out of this. Another interpretation that I found in my research is a translation of that verse that says this: God works together with those who love him to bring about what is good. God works together with those who love him to bring about what is good. A couple of weeks ago, our facilities manager, Casey, was out in the parking lot next to our fellowship hall. He was walking around, as he sometimes does, and saw a man sitting in his truck. Now, that's also not unusual. A lot of people come to our parking lot to eat their lunch or just have a break. It's a place that they feel safe. As Casey was walking closer to this man's car, the man rolled down his window and started to talk to him. And it wasn't long before he actually began to share all the pain that he was holding on to. He shared with him about, in the span of 1 year, both of his sons had passed away. And that as a result, his wife was unable to keep her job, too overcome and overwhelmed by the pain. He talked about his daughter, who he thought was carrying on very well and dealing with this pain okay. And as for himself, he honestly admitted to this stranger on a Tuesday that he was contemplating taking his life. Now, as Casey listened and felt the weight of this man's sorrow, he began to ask him questions like, have you shared these feelings with your family? He began to speak truth into him like, look, man, your daughter may be acting like she's fine, but she is not fine. If your wife is suffering, how will she handle your loss? You need to go home, tell them how you feel, hold them, love them, and be with them. And he said that man thanked him and said to him, yeah, I do need to go home. I've got work to do. And don't we just have to believe that the Spirit nudged Casey to listen to that man, to walk up to that window, that the Spirit placed Casey in that parking lot at just the right time, that something greater and bigger with a wide perspective was working for the good in that moment. See, what's so important about living out our theology is that each one of us stays attuned to the ways that God wants to work together with us to bring about the good. And as God's people, we have to be alert to those promptings. We have to follow them, even if they make us uncomfortable, even if they scare us. We have to come alongside people, standing as their advocates and counselors and offering them wisdom. We have to come alongside groups of people and fight for justice and resist evil and oppression. We have to peer into one another's darkness and pray God's future into the present. You know, in our world of present suffering and death and destruction, people may ask, where is a good God? But the question is, where are God's good people? And so it is future glory, the bigger picture, the wider perspective, and this present redemption that is possible that we hold in tandem. We both look forward to the day of no more mourning or crying or pain, and we work with the Spirit here and now to make that heavenly realm a possibility. Another way to say this is that we are holding down the middle. If you look at the whole picture of not just our lives, but the wider story of God's work in the world, we are sitting in that place after Christ walked and gave us example, and that place of Christ's final return. And quite frankly, the middle can be the hardest part. Think about the middle of a story and wanting to know how it ends. Think about the middle of a marathon, that weight that you feel beneath your feet. Think about middle school. We are with you, teenagers. Think about the middle of the night. Think about the middle of the back seat. Think about the middle of a road trip. The beginning is thrilling. The end is exciting. The middle can make us groan with expectant waiting. But Paul says, the moment that you get tired, that's when the Holy Spirit comes in. That's when the Holy Spirit works for good and wants to work with you for good. And so today, church, we rejoice because we worship not just the Alpha and Omega, not just the beginning and the end. We worship the God of the middle, the God who holds all things together. Thanks be to God. Amen.